So they locked themselves in a room. They began to think about their future. They began to wonder what was to be. For now they no longer had a leader. He was gone from among them. But suddenly they appeared. Jesus appeared in their presence. And they had another reason to be fearful. He was one who was from the dead, but now he was in their very presence. They thought he was a spirit, thought he was an apparition. But Jesus appeared to them and said, "Behold my hands." Luke 24 and verse 39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." They remind us Judas on that occasion. He had committed suicide. They remind us also another member of their group, because he was not present with them. He said, "Behold my hands." There are a number of things that we can learn about a lot in the Lord's life. We can learn a lot about his hands. This morning we want to look at that thought, "Behold my hands." Tonight, Lord willing, we'll look at the subject, "Behold my feet." And we'll see from the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, that there are lessons that we can learn about that. When we examine the hands of Jesus, we see, first of all, healing hands. Healing hands. A number of passages will reveal that. In Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole. And Jesus put forth," notice, "his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." We talked about this on other occasions, that lepers, of course, were segregated from the rest of Israel. From the moment a person was diagnosed by the priesthood with leprosy, he had to go and live in a separate place. He couldn't kiss his wife and his children goodbye. He had to be separate from common folks. Whenever folks approached, he had to cover his mouth and cry, "Unclean, unclean." They lacked then the milk of human kindness in so many ways because of this dreaded disease. How long do you think it had been since this man had been touched by another human being? And yet Jesus touched him. Not a part of the cleansing. Jesus didn't have to touch him to make him whole. But he did so, revealing, of course, his healing hands. Mark 1, verses 29 to 31. "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, there into the house of Simon, Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and," notice, "took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. She ministered unto them." Again, it wasn't essential for Jesus to hold her, touch her, to lift her up by the hand, because once he gave her the strength, she could lift herself up. But again, revealing the compassion of Christ and the healing hands. In that same account in Matthew 8:14-15, Matthew's account of that, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. It might have been that Jesus chose through the touch to heal her, but it wasn't necessary that that was the case. He spoke on other occasions, but the touching of the hand, the healing hands of Jesus, we learn a great deal about him. In Nazareth, Mark 6, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said unto those present, "Prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." Without honor in his own country. Nazareth was the place of his early childhood, and yet he was rejected by his own in that place. Not surprising, because John said he came into his own received him not. Certainly those further along in that, those with whom he had been reared to adulthood, would reject him, and they did. Mark chapter 8, verses 23 to 25, Jesus here is in Bethsaida. The Bible says he took the blind man by the hand, notice, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. He looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Here we see an indication that this man was not blind from birth, but had contacted some disease or some accident that had robbed him of his sight. Obviously, that's the case because when he saw what he saw, he said, I see men as trees. He had seen men in trees before, earlier in his life. Here's the only occasion when Jesus just partially healed an individual. Ordinarily, when a miracle was performed upon them, they were healed immediately. Straightforward, and other such words describe that healing. But here Jesus did only a partial healing, revealing that he could heal in completeness or he could heal in part, revealing his power. But he put his hands upon this man, demonstrated that healing ability. Mark 9, 26 and 27, here's a demon that the apostles could not cast out. But notice what it said, the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, and so much that many said he is dead. But Jesus, notice, took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. Later the apostles would say, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said, this kind comes out only by fasting and prayer. In Luke chapter 5, we see where in the beginning in Luke chapter 5, he was in Galilee, Mark tells us. And so it says, it came to pass when he was in a certain city in the region of Galilee, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately leprosy departed from him. Here another healing of a leper, and here Jesus touches another leper. But when he touched him, the cleansing didn't happen. It's when he spoke that he did. And so we know that the touching and the cleansing of the leprosy didn't have anything in common as far as the healing of the disease itself, but it showed the compassion, the healing hands of Jesus. Remember in Luke chapter 13, Jesus came in the presence of his people, and they began to tell him about the Galilean's blood that Pilate had mingled with his sacrifices. Jesus asked them, do you think these were sinners above all men in Israel? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then he said, in answer to that, and those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt on the earth? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He continues in that same context, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together and could in no wise lift her up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Behold my hands. Here were the nail-scarred hands that Jesus wanted his apostles to see and to feel and to understand, as he said, it is I myself, be not afraid. Here were these nail-scarred hands, the last scarring of the hands, if you will, that Jesus' work was finished. But prior to that, these were healing hands. These were hands who healed a number of people. But they're also hands of authority. Hands of authority. John the Baptizer said in John chapter 3 and verse 35, the Father loveth the Son, he hath given all things into his hand. Now again, not the literal hand of Jesus, but the hand is used as an illustration, giving authority to him, of course. At the Passover in John 13, when Jesus was about to be arrested and taken prisoner, crucified, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things, notice, unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. You'll recognize this, of course, as the occasion when Jesus washed the apostles' feet. But all things had been given unto his hand. He had been authorized, and he had authority. American Standard Version of the Great Commission says, Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. All authority had been placed in his hands. He was the authorized one then. John tells us in Revelation 1:16, and had in his right hand, notice, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. This idea of there being in his right hand, the place of protocol and the sign of authority, he had authority. Further, in Revelation 2 and verse 1, when he speaks to the church at Ephesus, He said, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars, notice, in his right hand, walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." He was one with authority and the hands of authority. Revelation 1:20, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks." Seven stars are the angels, the seven churches. Seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Here were hands of authority. But also here were hands of comfort. Hands of comfort. John said in Revelation 1:17-18, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Here is that same John the Apostle, who was in that room when Jesus, whom they thought to be dead, though he was resurrected, came through closed doors and presented himself unto them and said, "Behold, my hands." And now here is John some years later, actually some 60 years later. And John would say, I was in a vision and I fell as if I was dead. And he lifted me up with his right hand. Words of comfort. We also see in him the hands of security. "Behold my hands," hands of security. Matthew 14, Peter, Jesus is walking on the water. The disciples are in the boat, and the winds are boisterous, and the waves are high. The Bible says, "Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now remember, we said when they were in that room alone on that occasion after Jesus' death, they were fearful. It wasn't the first time. Here they were fearful yet again. And when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they had a new reason to be afraid. Here was someone walking on the water. That was the ultimate test in the ancient world, one who could walk on water. And so here comes the second person ever to walk on water, Peter. He said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Here was then security. Jesus reached down and touched him with his hand. Find also in John chapter 10:27-28, Jesus' words about being a shepherd. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them," notice, "out of my hand." That's security. Jesus here is not teaching the once saved, always saved doctrine because conditions are given. "They hear me, they hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me," he says. That being the case, no man can take them out of my hand. That's security. And he reveals that security unto us. Hands of security, but also hands of providence. Hands of providence. We only read the word providence one time in the scriptures. It occurs in the book of Acts, and it's talking about Herod. But we see the concept throughout the Bible. Here we find in that idea of providence in Antioch. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Here again, it's not the literal hand of God that was with them, the hand of the Lord, but the illustration, the significance of that. This shows that there was some providence involved. The hand of the Lord was guiding that. And so we see the hands of providence. "Behold my hands," the hands of compassion. Compassion. Matthew chapter 19, they bring little ones to Jesus, that he should put his hands on them, notice, and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. The hands of compassion then, that would be compassionate even to little children. Then Jesus taught his disciples a lesson by laying those same hands, those hands of healing and authority, those hands of comfort and security and providence and compassion here lays those same hands on these children. Mark 1 and verse 40 says, "And when there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, notice, moved with compassion, did what? Put forth his hand and touched him. Saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." Notice that earlier in the healing of this leper, that the compassion of Jesus showed through with touching this man who likely had not been touched by a human being for quite some time. Behold my hands, hands of compassion, but also hands of ownership. Hands of ownership. Here Jesus was in a synagogue in Matthew chapter 12. Then one said unto him, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." But he answered and said unto him that told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." Hand of ownership. If the Lord stretches forth his hand to us, he receives us as his own. Hopefully that'll be the way each of us face the judgment scene, with his hand being reached toward us, saying, "Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Matthew 16 and verse 18, words that are familiar to us. "I say also unto Peter that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Ownership. I will build my church. The hands of Jesus reveal that ownership. Again in John 10, when Jesus speaks of himself as being the shepherd, his people the sheep, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I have given them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand," as we noticed earlier. It indicates security, but also ownership. Matthew 25:32-33. Remember the judgment scene, Matthew 25:31-43. Jesus, before him would be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. The ones on the right hand would demonstrate his ownership in this judgment scene. He would say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." That same hand compelling them to come. That same hand that we mentioned, the hand that showed ownership. But then we see hands of power. "Behold my hands." All of these thoughts and others could have gone through the disciples' mind when Jesus made that statement. Here, the Bible tells us, Luke's account, that they were in Nazareth again. And when the Sabbath day was come, Mark tells us, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Here again, the power that is revealed. Here again, he was in Nazareth. These same individuals, notice what they said about him. "From whence hath this man these things?" They had known him most of his life. Here was Jesus. What's he think he's doing? He demonstrated his power with his hands. But then there are hands of judgment. Hands of judgment. John the Baptizer speaks again to us, whose fan, he says about Jesus, notice, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here John speaks about Jesus and the fact that he will one day judge the world, that unquenchable fire would be the lot of those who fail to be obedient to him. And then again, that judgment scene we mentioned earlier in Matthew 25, verse 34 says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand," notice, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." With that right hand, how many had he touched and healed? How many demonstrations of compassion had he been revealed through that same right hand as he touched children? How much security had been demonstrated by his hand, and so forth. Down in verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." The hands of judgment. But then finally, as we behold his hands, they were hands of resurrection. Resurrection. We find that Mark tells us here, as Matthew fails to tell us the place, but Mark in his account tells us they were in Capernaum. Verse 18, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead. But come and notice, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." Hands of resurrection. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Power of the resurrection. It wasn't just that this soldier knew that Jesus had to touch his daughter in order to be healed, but he knew within his hands the power of the resurrection. And if Jesus could just be in her presence, according to his thinking, she should be healed. Luke chapter 7, we encounter the widow of Nain's son. Here the funeral procession was already taking place. The services, as we would think of them, were over. The hearse had been pulled up. The body had been placed thereon. Now when he, Jesus, came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. Much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and, notice, touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Again, he didn't have to touch that, but he did. A demonstration of his closeness with those individuals. His compassion demonstrated, yes, but also the power to raise one from the dead, as he had done on other occasions. In John chapter 11, we're in the home of Mary and Martha. You recall that Lazarus, their brother, was dead. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Martha, on this occasion, didn't really understand that Jesus was talking about an immediate resurrection. She had faith in the general resurrection, the resurrection of all from the dead. She had been in Jesus' presence long enough to know that. She said, I know that he's going to rise from the dead one day, Lord. But Jesus said, look, I am the resurrection and life. And so the power in his hand, behold, my hands. Hands of healing and of authority and of comfort. Hands of security and providence, compassion, ownership, power, judgment. Hands of the resurrection. The hands are often used in a symbolic way, and certainly it's the case with Jesus as well. Used in a symbolic way with the Father also. But the hands are so symbolic of so many things. And so when Jesus, in the presence of those fearful men on that occasion, said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I, be not afraid. They were able to see the nail prints. They were able to feel the scars. Then they were able to realize truly it is him. When we look at his hands, we can see truly it was him, because of all of these things and so many more that he was able to accomplish with his hands. As we behold his hands this morning, think about your life. Compassion of the Lord, the providence of the Lord, the security that's there. Do you know those things that are found in those hands? Because those same hands of comfort and of security and of compassion and of resurrection are also the hands of judgment and of authority. This morning, if we do not rest under the compassionate, secure, powerful hands of the Lord, we rest under the judging, authoritative hands of the Lord. So we should each examine our lives this morning. Where do I stand? Would I be with the right hand or those on the left hand? If my life were to end today, if you never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you rest under the left hand. You need to obey the gospel, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in him, being baptized for the remission of sins. You wash your sins away in his blood, Revelation 1:5. Add you to his church, Acts 2:47. Make you his own. You'll be the shepherd and you'll be the sheep. And then with his right hand, he will guide you throughout life. This morning, if you're a member of the body of Christ, but have turned away back into the world, you rest under the left hand of judgment, authoritative hand, that will one day tell you to depart unless changes are made. If you're not the Christian you ought to be, if you're not following his will, seeking his kingdom first, living a faithful life, growing into maturity as a Christian, you rest under the left hand. But today, opportunity is ours. We can make amends. We can ask his forgiveness as we repent of those things in all sincerity. And he'll forgive us, 1 John 1 and verse 9. Remove us from the condemnation under the left hand to the resurrection compassion, providence, security of the right hand. So this morning, behold His hands under which do you reside. If you need to make a change in your spiritual situation, we can help you this morning to move from the left to the right hand. Then won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.